Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Welcome to another session of the Adventures in Companionship with myself, Refule, and Dr. Bill Price. He is definitely not new to radio. He was a national presenter for 4 programs years ago, and glad to have him back, glad to have the legend back. So Dr. Bill is a Master Executive Global Leadership and Strategy Coach. He is also qualified in neuroscience, brain biology, and a member of the Institute of Coaching for the McVie Association of Harvard Medical University. He is also a professional international speaker, a coach, and an amazing husband to the beautiful Estelle, a father to 2 adult children, and a grandfather to 4 amazing alive grandchildren. He loves reading, hiking in mountains, laughter, walking in nature, good movies, socializing, and as a futuristic, scanning the horizon for new trends unfolding as we live in the now of today. Let's all welcome Dr. Bill Price.
Wow, that's an amazing introduction, Rafira, and thank you very much. And I just love the vibrancy in your voice and the aliveness and the energy and the passion with which you engage in this program, helping me to be the best version that I can be. So I salute you for that. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So today we're engaging on interrelationships, you know, from different backgrounds, values aligned, and differences that are actually, you know, people from different backgrounds now coming in and trying to build any form of companion.
Yeah.
So how can I become that person? You know, how can I relate with people better? Another question would be, I don't know this person. I don't know their background. I'm Christian. How do I become friends to people who are not Christian? How do I relate with them? Because I know a lot of people have a trouble actually relating with people who are not born again.
Yeah. So it was very interesting that Jesus, Yeshua, said to us as Christians, let your friendliness be known to all men.
Mm.
He didn't say to only Christians. He said to all man. So we have a command, and it is something that sadly many Christians fail in that reality, because they think that the only way in which they can maintain a sense of connection, a sense of dignity, is to stick around with the same crowd. They almost create I once looked at it and I called it almost like Christian apartheid. It's like we are this Christian, we in our camp, no one else, and we dare not speak to anybody. So we become judgmental. So the moment you create a camp, you become judgmental, and you don't allow the beauty of difference. And I think what we're trying to do in this program to help people to understand how we make a shift from being a listener to a companion, and being an acquaintance and a friend to becoming a companion, is that we're trying to empower people. We want them to become enlarged, engaged, evolve, to become enlightened, to have insight, so that they can have foresight into their future interpersonal relationships. So I'm a futurist, and I'm reading a lot about that the artificial intelligence is taking over. And many times I'll get an email from a bank and they will tell me XYZ, I need to pay in 50 rand in this program or in this account, when I have already met someone in a call center, spoken to them and told them that it has already been paid. So it's like the one system is not talking to the other. So artificial intelligence to me is an oxymoron. So anything that's artificial can't be intelligent. And no matter how they go with intelligence, the robots are not going to take over the world. Mm. We will always have people, and where there's always people, there will always be interpersonal relationships. So when anybody buys anything, they very seldom buy from the internet and the website. And the moment issues happen, they want to talk to someone. And so interpersonal relationships will always be around. But what we need to understand right up front, that everybody is unique. So everybody is created in the image of God. Everybody has the stamp of God's image on them. So therefore, they have dignity. They are worthy. They are valuable. They are accepted. They are beloved. They are at one with. And when we see one another in that light, then that's when a journey of mutual respect and mutuality can happen. Because the moment we underplay that, the moment we say, you are less than me, or you are different to me. I can remember going in days gone by when we used to do training. I was in a training course on diversity, and it was so, it was embarrassing. So all the white males sat at one table, all the African males sat at another table, and then they divided them up into their different language patterns, language groupings. And the more they worked with us, the more divided a group we became. So it was like there were more people divided. And eventually the instructor said, now what I want you to do is just stand up and look at each other. And I'm going, so what must I look at? What is this look? What's the purpose of me looking at all these people? I don't want to look. I want to relate. I want to find out. I've got some burning questions I'd love to ask some people, so that I can make a personal discovery and learn and grow because of it. But here we were just told that we just need to look and see our difference. And at the end of the diversity course, all it landed up was that we were more separated and more diverse than ever before. So the diversity taught us that we are different, and therefore we have to remain that way. And I'm going, no. There's an invitation within this whole process that no matter who we are, that we can relate to each other. So our differences can actually bring us together. If I just look at marriage, sadly, Christian churches preach that they shall become one, and that means that they must look alike and think alike and be alike. And you've got women who are going, no, I'm going to sort this man out. He's going to become like I want him to be. And they think that's the role of marriage. But it's not to make someone like you, because if you wanted to marry someone exactly like you, then why don't you just marry yourself and get over and done with it? So it's not that. We've got to realize that there's diversity. Stell and I, we celebrate our differences, and we realize that our differences is what makes us a team. And so she's very meticulous, very particular, very detailed orientated. I'm kind of process, big people orientated. And we for years, it was a great contention point in our relationship, because I expected her just to think like me and to be like me.
Yeah.
And I hated it when she was detail orientated, because I'm going, you're wasting my time telling me all this detail. Let's just go and get in the car and go step by step and get it done. So the moment we disregard our differences, and we disregard the fact that the other person that I'm having or wanting a relationship with has and is in a different world, and I need to step over a bridge that we both need to build and step into that person's world. And when I'm in that person's world, I must leave my world behind. I can't bring my world into that world, because then it's contamination. So I need to come in with respect to that person's world and say, tell me about your world. Tell me about you. Tell me about what do you think? What do you feel? What do you understand by this? And what turns you on? What turns you off? Etc. And the whole role is to cross over and to be open-minded with mutual respect that you created in the image of God, and that I need to be open to anything that you're going to tell me. You need to be able to feel free to tell me your fears and tell me your, and I'm not there to pass judgment on it. I'm just there to be a reflective listener. And if you give me permission to give advice, well, then I can give the advice, but then I mustn't expect you to take that advice on, because then, you know, then I'm like superimposing stuff on you, and then I'm moving into manipulation. And scripture is very clear that a manipulator is like a witch. So anybody who's a manipulator, according to Old and New Testament, has become a witch.
Mm.
So we're not in our relationship to manipulate each other. We're in our relationship to improve, and we're in our relationship to better each other and to respect and honor each other. When I'm finished with you in the relationship, you must be 10 times better.
Well, absolutely. Because as you're busy talking, I'm reminded of when I started joining here. As you can see, I'm the youngest here. So it was, okay, everybody is older than me. How do I relate to people?
We're from must be hell. You're working with your moms all the time and your dads.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was just a matter of how do I go about relating with everyone. And I think I just took a route of just being a respectful person.
Hmm.
And that way, with whoever I engage with, I just took that, you know what, I am going to be respectful and I'm going to be intentional about being respectful to everyone.
Yeah.
And it has worked in my favor.
The worst word that I've heard in interpersonal relationships, and the politicians love to use it, we must tolerate one another.
Yeah.
So listen what that sounds like. So you and I have a good friend. His name is, call him Charles. And in Charles's absence, I say to you, I had a lovely time with Charles. We had a braai, etc., etc. And in the conversation, you ask and you say, Dr. Bill, you like Charles? I said, yes, I do like him. And what's it like to like him? I said, and I will say to you, I like him, but I also tolerate a lot of things about him, you know.
Mm.
So the word tolerate is not what it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to tolerate in a relationship. I don't tolerate. I accept difference. That's respect.
Yeah.
So we need to change the word I tolerate with the words I accept difference. I understand difference. I understand that older folks are older and that they're going to be more traditional in their thinking and they're going to be more this and more that. And that as a younger generation, I'm less of that and more of this, that the older generation can't understand why the younger generation continue to play on their cell phones, although they'd like to share some very important information with them and tell them, say, listen, do you realize that your cell phone is making so much radioactivity that if you hold it, I've done it in brain scans where a person has taken a cell phone and they put it against their ear and they've had a 10-minute conversation. We took an x-ray of the brain before the conversation and then we took an x-ray of the brain after the conversation and it was like the whole side of the brain was red. It was absolutely inflamed after 12 minutes because of the radioactivity that's on a phone. And yet we're allowing all our children and young people to put phones to their ears. And what you actually need to put a ear attachment to your phone. Don't put one of those attachments that don't have wire connection because it's just taking the radioactivity closer to your ears. And that's the reality of cell phones. So wow. We're busy burning our brains and brying our brains. So, and if one has that kind of knowledge, then you don't hold that knowledge back. You share it with whoever whoever your friends are, because you're going, listen, here's scientific proof that this stuff is messing around with the brains and creating all sorts of disease. So I just want to caution you to consider. Less time. If you're going to go to bed, take your cell phone and put it at least 2 to 3 meters away from you rather than on the bedside next to you. If it's going to ring, well, then get up and answer it. But what I'm trying to say is that when we're working in a relationship with each other and in a diverse relationship with each other, our difference should be celebrated and our difference should be acknowledged.
Yeah.
We don't tolerate each other. We acknowledge each other. We acknowledge that you're different. We acknowledge that you are not as I am, and you have a, there is a uniqueness about you just as much as there is a uniqueness about me. But let's put that aside and celebrate it. We can make jokes about it. We can relate to each other. And if necessary, I'd love to ask you questions on the difference, on why in your culture a funeral is done that way and why in my culture a funeral is done another way. Why in one culture there's this and another culture there's that.
Yeah.
But in diversity, there's more than culture. There's all sorts of stuff. There's attitudes. There's mindsets. Mm. There's 100,000 things that one can divide you if you allow it.
Yeah.
But if you have respect and you have honor and you affirm each other and you give each other space, that mutual respect will allow the difference to be the glue rather than the difference to be that which repels.
Oh, and that's actually interesting. And also when you're speaking about repelling, I remember I did science in high school, so they would say that opposite sides attract. Mm. So meaning that we don't have to be the same
exactly
for us to get along.
Yeah.
So it's when we are different that we get to, you know, expand and become greater and actually get to attract. And we can draw more people because people can say, oh, they're different, but they get along.
Yeah.
So more people would be looking forward to engaging with us, wanting
exactly
to know more about us because we are not the same, yet we get along.
Yeah. So in reality, when I was doing counseling many years ago, when I used to like people, couples used to come to me and say, we want to divorce because we are different and we are incompatible. And I used to tell them, incompatibility is the basis of a best marriage. So we are hurt in relationships.
Yeah.
We are wounded in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But relationships also heal us. And you can only heal one another in a relationship. You can't heal outside of a relationship. And so we need to begin to celebrate the fact of our difference, our uniqueness, and the beauty of that.
Mm.
So we can't all be red roses. There's got to be some lilies and some khaki bush and some whatever. But put us all together, and we've got an amazing display.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also when it comes to marriage, what I've noticed is people want to be the same, but yet God calls for different, God calls for male and female to come together. So that on its own, there are no similarities there.
You better believe it.
The only similarity would be that we are all children of God.
Yeah, and we wash in the same shower.
Exactly. Outside of that, there's nothing.
Maybe even use the same towel. Who knows?
Yeah. So we do hope.
But I want to encourage people, just celebrate your difference and don't be afraid of it. Just go into it, lean into it, and lean into it in a loving way.
Absolutely. Remember, if you have any queries, question, or feedback regarding the series, you can actually email Dr. Bill Price on inspired@drbillprice.com, which is inspired, INSPIRED, at drbillprice.com. You can email. He'll definitely get back to you. And that's it for us today. We'll be with you next time.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM. Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
For there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer request by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.